Hello and welcome to Natasha Explains It All. Today's episode is going to be about the Women's World Cup. And I won't often talk about sports, but I felt that this was worth diving into because some of the unfortunate controversies that have come out of this Women's World Cup are unfortunately very commonplace. In women's lives, and certainly something that I can relate to, and I thought it would be worth talking about. So, a little bit of context first. The Women's World Cup just wrapped up this past weekend. Australia and New Zealand co-hosted the Women's World Cup for the first time, and it was overall a very, very exciting tournament. It was the first time that the Women's World Cup was expanded to 32 teams, and there were lots of new teams that advanced far more than people expected. There were several powerhouse teams that left much earlier than people expected, and there were lots of firsts, including the first time that three African nations made it to the knockout rounds, which would be Morocco, Nigeria, and South Africa. And all four teams that made it to the semifinals were teams that had never won the Women's World Cup before. And the winner, Spain, who beat England 1-0, also was the first time that Spain had won the Women's World Cup. So there were lots of firsts. There was lots of unexpected victories and losses. It was a really exciting tournament. And I encourage folks to go online and check out footage and articles and photos of this extraordinary demonstration of athletic prowess. Now, the focus of today's episode, though, is going to be on one of the negative aspects of this tournament. And that is basically sexual harassment and mistreatment that women players have experienced as a result of the World Cup, during the World Cup, prior to the World Cup, influencing their ability to, rather than to be able to just focus on the game, and particularly in Spain's case, on their victory, instead it has been mired by the actions of men in charge. And so I want to get into that a little bit. So I'm going to be focusing on two countries, Spain and Zambia. Starting with Spain, as I mentioned, Spain are the winners of the Women's World Cup. They are world champions. They played fantastically. They have done a really great job throughout the entire tournament. And yet their path to getting here and through the award ceremony has been rough. So last year, there was a group of 15 players on the national team who wrote a letter and sent it via email to the Spanish Football Federation. So the Spanish Soccer Federation is called the Royal Spanish Football Federation, RFEF. Expressing their very serious concerns about coaching and about the team, and saying that they would not be available to play for the national team until their concerns were addressed. And they raised several very serious concerns, including how injuries were being addressed or not addressed being the case, a lack of support services, problems with coaching, including the coach for the Spanish women's national team is Jorge Vilda, and there were various complaints about his coaching and his management style, including things like requiring the players to keep their hotel doors open at night so he could enforce curfew and checking their bags when they would come back from outings. And also, you know, arriving late for games and things. So a lot of very serious concerns regarding Vilda's coaching style, as well as general support and like concerns about treatment of the players. So anyway, these 15 players send the Spanish Football Federation privately their concerns at, you know, explaining the impact on their emotional well-being and on their health and wanting change so that they can continue to play for the national team. The response from the Spanish Football Federation was to deny all of the allegations, to make their response public. So again, the players had come to them privately. The Federation responded very publicly and made the allegations public and said that they would not bow to pressure from the players and that they wouldn't change anything, like, and you know, just based on player demands, particularly as it comes to the coach, even though they weren't asking for the coach to be removed. They just wanted improvements. And the Federation basically stood up for Jorge Vilda and retaliated against the players who raised these concerns, because of the 15 who raised these concerns, only three of them were allowed to come to the World Cup. Jorge Vilda was the one, the coach, was the one who got to decide who went to the World Cup. And he only took three of the 15 with him, even though there were several other players who expressed their desire to play. But in what seems to be pretty clear retaliation for speaking out about abuse, they were not selected to come to the World Cup. Now, adding some additional layer to this, and I double checked this because I did not want to believe that this nepotism is real. But so the Spanish Football Federation is headed by a guy named Luis Rubiales. Within the Spanish Football Federation is the head of the Spanish women's football division. And the head of the Spanish women's football division within the Spanish Football Federation is a guy named Ángel Vilda, who happens to be Jorge Vilda's dad. So many players send a letter to the Spanish Federation saying, hey, we have very serious concerns about how we're being treated, how we're being coached. And the person who is in charge of the Spanish women's football division is the dad of the coach. Ángel is Jorge Vilda's dad. So that seems like there might not be an entirely objective response there. And then additionally, as I said, the head of the Spanish Football Federation is this guy named Rubiales. And he also went full in to support Vilda and, you know, said that they were going to keep him on and they were not going to, quote, admit any pressure from any player, close quote. And to show you a little bit more about who this Rubiales guy is. So again, Vilda only takes three of the 15 to the World Cup. Spain still does amazing because they are amazing players. And when Spain wins, Rubiales is caught on camera, not only grabbing his crotch when they win, like in this gesture of like, we won, but then when there's like a podium that FIFA sets up for the award ceremony, and the players come up one by one to this podium and like shake the hands of a bunch of dignitaries before they go and take a group photo. Well, Rubiales was one of these people that the players had to interact with on their way to receive their trophy and their medals and, you know, to take their celebratory photos. And Rubiales with many of the players, like grabbed them, hugged them, kissed them on the cheek, lifted them up in the air. And then with one player, Jenny Hermoso, who is one of the captains of the team, and she's also Spain's top scorer for the women's national team, he grabbed her by her head and kissed her on the lips. And when there's been enormous pushback about this, and he initially was like, oh, people are just being idiots, like this was totally fine, this was like totally mutual, whatever, it's just celebratory. And he's gotten so much pushback that he's like issued some type of apology video that's not really an apology. And the Federation, which again is run by him, issued some statement like on behalf of Hermoso saying like it was like a mutual sign of affection, even though she wasn't involved in that statement. So you have a situation where players are saying, hey, we're being mistreated. The Federation, which is run by this guy, Rubiales, and the coach's dad are like, no, we're sticking behind the coach. And then when the women do win, despite all of that baggage and pressure that they're experiencing, and despite them continuing to clearly not get along with the coach, because every time they won a match, it's become like a meme on social media, like every time they won a match, they would like not celebrate with Vilda, like he would be off by himself, like celebrating with the other coaches or something, but like the players would be off, like they never were like wanted to be with him to celebrate. So on top of all of that, now we have the head of the Spanish Football Federation sexually assaulting one of their players by kissing her without her consent, in addition to like being just generally creepy with the other players in terms of like how touchy-feely he was in congratulating them. And just as a side note there, like I think a lot of women, certainly myself, like we all know that guy who is just way too touchy. Like he might be a friend of yours or like just like the guys who just like use any type of interaction to as like an excuse to touch you. And look, I am Brazilian. I understand cultures that are like very touchy-feely, that like you do kisses and all that stuff. And like Spain is one of those cultures as well. As a woman, you know when that line is being crossed. Like you know those guys who are just a little too touchy. Like I definitely know those guys who are just like every time they see you, like they use that as an excuse, like pull you into this like huge bear hug and like kiss you on the cheek, even though like you're not reciprocating that at all, which is very much the energy that Rubiales was giving off as he was interacting with each of the players. The amount of physical interaction with the players was inappropriate. And then they don't get to focus on winning. Now they instead have to focus on responding to this absurd controversy that he has created. So instead of Jenny Hermoso being able to focus on the fact that like she has now reached the pinnacle of her career. She is now a world champion. She has helped Spain reach the championship, right? They've won the Women's World Cup. She can't focus on that and instead is having to respond to reporters and others who are like, and just like the shock of having this happen to her as she's at the award ceremony. And as if all of that wasn't enough, like there's so many things. As if all of that wasn't enough, immediately after the award ceremony, when they're like in the locker room, you know, celebrating, Rubiales comes into the locker room and says that he's going to pay for a celebratory trip to Ibiza for everyone And that's when he's going to celebrate his marriage to Jenny Hermoso. So Ibiza, for those who don't know, is a Spanish island that is a major party hub. Like, that is where Europeans go to party. If you're into like electronic dance music, that's your home. So you have the head of the Spanish Football Federation, who is the boss of all of these women, right? He runs the association that employs these women. And he's out here, not only completely dismissed their concerns the prior year, including about Jorge Vilda, and publicly shamed these women and told them basically, you can't come play for us unless you apologize. And then when the women still, despite all of that, still win, like make it to the top, then he sexually harasses them, sexually assaults one of them, and then jokes about how he's going to take all of them to this like island vacation and like marry the same player that he just kissed non-consensually. And like, I wish that was all. Like, there's still more. Like, literally, as they are on stage, on the podium, celebrating this, the Spanish Football Federation, again, run by this guy named Rubiales, posted a photo on social media of the coach, Jorge Vilda, with the caption, quote, Vilda in, close quote. Basically signaling, once again, the Spanish Football Federation, run by Rubiales, does not stand with the players who had raised their concerns about Vilda and overall treatment, and instead is like, we are behind the coach. We are behind the coach, in the same breath that this guy is also engaging in all of this wildly inappropriate behavior on a world stage. And it's been so bad that there already have been calls for him to resign, though he hasn't. And many people have spoken out, not just, you know, sports commentators and things, but even the prime minister of Spain is like, bro, this is bad. And I thought that there was a moment in the locker room that also really spoke to me, because, you know, someone asked Jenny, like, multiple people asked Jenny about this, right? About being kissed without consent by her boss, basically, right? By the head of the Spanish Football Federation. And, you know, she said, like, she's like, I didn't like it, but what could I do? And that just spoke so deeply, right? To this point of like, how often are women put into these positions where like, yeah, like what can you do? Like in the moment, what was she possibly going to do? It was completely like thrown off guard. This is the boss. Like this is the head of the federation that clearly has the power to destroy people's careers and not allow people to play as they did when players complained the prior year. And it's in, you know, like she just has to, and he physically grabs her. Like there's, if you can do, you can verify this, you can look online for photos, and there's this very stunning angle where you can see that he has grabbed her head with both of his hands and like, you know, brought her face into his to kiss her. And her two arms are like out to the side of him. She's not touching him at all. And I don't know, that image just really spoke to me. And I think a lot of women can relate to that, of just like, clearly she does not want to be touched and she's shocked by it. And he's just like, la, 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 just totally bliss. Like this is totally appropriate for him to do whatever he wants because these are his players. And, you know, like he's never done that to a male player, even though Rubiales has been to other award ceremonies with the Spanish men's national team, because of course, like he wouldn't. This is about power, and this complete lack of boundaries, because women are considered, their boundaries are not respected in the same way. Their bodies are not their own. Like, do you think that the head of the Spanish Football Federation would be joking about how he's going to marry one of the male players in Ibiza? Like, what? No. It's just, and the fact that they like issued a statement on Hermoso's behalf saying that this was like a mutually, you know, like mutually agreed upon thing, like, you know, like both were fine with it, is just another example of how, like, that is obviously was not a mutual gesture. That was the phrase I was looking for. It was obviously not a mutual gesture. Hermoso was not part of issuing this official statement. Apparently, both Vilda and Rubiales reached out repeatedly to Hermoso and her family to try to get her to be part of this apology video that Rubiales put out. That was one of these, again, totally like half-assed apologies that's like, well, nobody on the inside thought this was a big deal, but clearly some people on the outside thought this was a big deal. So, like, you know, I need to say something about it. But man, it's like, yeah, like, I feel so bad for the team. And I feel so bad for all the players, including Jenny Hermoso, who right now should only be focused on basking in the glory that is winning the Women's World Cup. They did a fantastic job. And that is like as good as it gets for their careers, right? This is like the top of the top. They have won the world tournament. And yet instead, they're having to deal with the emotional fallout of having been taken advantage of and the main news stories being about Rubiales' completely unacceptable behavior and the whole controversy with Vilda, rather than on their win and on their victory. And I think it's just something that really spoke to me. And I think that a lot of women can relate to that. That something like, why can't you just win? Why can't we just celebrate? Why can't we just focus on whatever it is, on the work, on the whatever? And I think that that speaks to a huge reason why so many women don't speak up about stuff, you know, because there's still to this day all this pushback that's like, well, why didn't you say something earlier? Why didn't you speak up? Like, whatever. And it's like, because there's fear of retaliation, legitimate fear of retaliation. Oftentimes when women do speak up, they're pushed out. They're demoted. They're the ones blamed. They're the ones told to apologize. They're the ones retaliated against. They're the ones fired, right? And the guy is often the one who is promoted, right? There's the whole concept of failing up. Men often help each other fail up. So they've done something wrong. And instead of being held accountable for that, they're actually promoted. And protected within the organization or whatever the structure is. And that seems to be exactly what happened here. Lots of these players raised serious concerns about Vilda to the Spanish Football Federation. Vilda's dad is the head of the women's division, and the head of the whole football federation is this guy named Rubiales, who clearly doesn't think that much, doesn't hold the women in that self-regard. And literally as they are celebrating on the podium, his federation like posts on social media that they're behind Vilda, that they're sticking with Vilda, rather than about the players, rather than about congratulating the players. Their first response is to say Vilda in, to like show a middle finger to the players that their priority is protecting the coach, not the players. And that's just a lot. And like I said, just this, like the belief that it is okay to touch women so casually, particularly when you have a lot of power over them, as is this case where you have the head of the Spanish Football Federation congratulating individual players of the women's team. Like he controls their contracts. Like he gets to decide, you know, if they're going to have a career or not in Spain. And just, yeah, just the casualness of that misogyny is just, I mean, it's really disappointing and it's really frightening. And it's just so, yeah, it's just so disappointing. Again, we should just be focusing on the fact that, like, for the first time in world history, Spanish women have won the Women's World Cup. And instead, the focus is on Rubiales, like, completely violating boundaries with players and, you know, embarrassing the country, embarrassing the team, embarrassing himself. That doesn't sound like he's feeling that embarrassed. So that is what happened with Spain, and I want to congratulate Spain. Enhorabuena, felicitaciones. They did a fantastic job despite all of the nonsense that's been going on, and despite the chronic divestment, the chronic lack of investment in the Spanish women's football world. It's only been in the last handful of years that you know, Spain has upped its game, but there's still pay disparities, there's still equipment disparities, there's still training facility disparities. Again, part of that prompting the letter from last year. And so it's like, you know, there's a lot of parallels with the US women's team in the sense of, like, the US women's team doing so well for so many years and yet being chronically underpaid, and not receiving the same respect and recognition as the men's team, even though the US women's national team is way better than the US men's national team. And the US women's national team, like, had to sue the US Soccer Federation and, like, have really ugly public dispute about it to be able to make progress. And it's just really sad to see that happening in Spain as well. And yeah, as Jenny said, like, she didn't like it, but what could she do? And I really hope that all of the public backlash against Rubiales will actually bring change about this time. But it's also like you wonder, right? Because they won. And so a lot of people are like, yeah, Vilda is vindicated, which is clearly the view of the Spanish Federation. But a lot of others are saying that these players, it's not because of Vilda, it's in spite of him, that they are from premier leagues within Spain, particularly Barcelona, and that these players are excellent and they brought their skills to the table and they were able to succeed despite him, not because of him. So that is that on that piece. Yeah, just a really relatable experience. You know, I am not a World Cup athlete, but as a woman, I can definitely relate to being treated in that way. I'd like to turn briefly, as I mentioned, that I wanted to talk about Spain and I also wanted to talk about Zambia. So I'd like to talk now about Zambia before closing this episode. So what's going on with Zambia? So Zambia made it to the Women's World Cup for the first time. Very exciting. However, we also have issues with the coach, this guy named Bruce Mwape, and I apologize if I am mispronouncing that. Well, so we've got another issue here. So this guy, the Zambia coach, prior to coming to the World Cup, there were allegations made against him that he of sexual misconduct. Specifically, players were alleging that the coach forced the players to sleep with him, that they had to sleep with him, you know, in order to be able to play. And FIFA, I mean, at least publicly, did nothing with these allegations because Mwape was still allowed to be the coach at the Women's World Cup that just happened. Now, during the World Cup, Mwape was asked by reporters about these allegations. And there was a FIFA media officer who jumped in and asked that the journalists restrict their questions to, quote, the football and to the tournament only, close quote. And Mwape just denied all the allegations anyway. And That to me is infuriating. You know, that FIFA would, first of all, you didn't take the allegations seriously enough to prohibit this coach from being at the World Cup. And now when people want to ask questions about it, you're saying, oh, that's not an appropriate question. You need to keep the questions to football and the tournament. I mean, this is a forever thing that lots of other podcasts talk about exclusively. This whole concept of like keeping politics out of sport is just absurd and is just meant to maintain power structures as they are. Because obviously, if there is a coach who is requiring his players to have sex with him so that they can play, like that obviously affects the football and the tournament. That's not this separate issue. That affects their well-being, that affects their morale, that affects who's being chosen to play. Like, what are you talking about? How is that a separate thing? It's just wild and just showing like FIFA reinforcing and again, yeah, reinforcing the silence of women and like why they don't speak up, because that's how they're responded to by saying, you know, by being gaslit into saying that this does not have to do with football in the tournament. It has everything to do with football in the tournament. How they're being treated, how they're being used and exploited by their coach. What? Ugh. Anyway, so that happened. And of course, because that's not everything. During the World Cup, right? So before the World Cup, this coach, Zambia's coach, is accused. And allegations are filed with FIFA that he is requiring sexual favors of his players. Sexual misconduct allegations made. FIFA does nothing about them. This guy is allowed to still represent the team, coach the team, come to the World Cup. At the World Cup, he's asked about it, and FIFA's like, don't ask him about it. And then during the World Cup, I mean, I'm laughing just because of the absurdity of this. Like, then at the World Cup, further allegations come out that while he's at the World Cup, he rubbed one of his players' chests and breasts. So like he's engaging in literally more sexual misconduct live as this World Cup is happening. In addition to the prior allegations that were made of similar behavior that FIFA did nothing about and the Zambia Federation also did nothing about. Like, what? And you know, unfortunately, Zambia you know, didn't make it to the final. But again, like rather than the story being about how like Zambia made it to the Women's World Cup for the first time, this was a huge achievement. Like the news stories are about their abusive coach. And in addition to that, like the players are alleging that they haven't been paid in years. Because the Zambia Football Federation hasn't been, pa they haven't been paid, like the Zambia Football Federation hasn't paying them. And the way that the prize money works with the Women's World Cup, to my understanding, is that the players are given a certain amount per game that they play. And the Zambian team has expressed their concern that they don't have confidence that the Zambian Football Federation is actually going to pass along that money to them because FIFA passes along the prize money to the football federations of the various member countries. And then that is supposed to be passed along to the players. And the Zambian players have raised concerns based on the history that they're not going to get paid. And the head of FIFA, this other guy named Infantino, I think he's Italian. I hope I'm not wrong about that, but if I am, my apologies. But Infantino, he says like he's just basically like, well, I can't do anything about that. Like we FIFA just like play, you know, pays the federations and so like we can't do anything about that. And that is like, how is that enough? How is that enough of a response that like players are saying they're not getting paid? And you're like, well, all we can do is pay the individual federations. And he was like, there's tax laws and all this stuff. Like, don't you exert some influence? You know, can't you have some say? over the Zambian Football Federation to get them to pay their players. I don't know, man. Like, and I wasn't even going to talk about this, but speaking of the pay, like the Jamaican national team, they had to crowdfund around $150,000 so that they could come to the Women's World Cup. There was such a lack of financial investment from Jamaica into the Women's World Cup team that they had to crowdsource their funding to be able to come to the Women's World Cup. Like the stories just go on. There's also the goalie for England, Mary Earps, who won the Golden Glove. Like she is a phenomenal goalie and was phenomenal during the World Cup. And fans have been clamoring for Nike to make a replica of her jersey, and Nike has still refused to do so. You can look into that. That's its whole like own controversy. Like what is going on here? So anyway, just to wrap this up, Women's World Cup, awesome. Amazing. Was great to follow to the best that I could, you know, with it being in Australia and New Zealand, the time zone difference could be challenging. And but so fantastic. Really excited for the next one, but also so sad to have these world-class players be treated in such a disrespectful and misogynistic way. And rather than them being able to focus on their skills and their talent and their accomplishments, instead the focus is on the abuse that they have suffered. And again, like the abuse has to stop and it has to be talked about and it has to be addressed. But it's a bummer that it's even existing, because if it didn't exist, then we could just focus on the players, on their accomplishments, on their success, on their wins, on their story. And instead, the time and energy has to be focused on addressing these really serious concerns about sexism in sport. On that note, I'm going to close up this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Let's keep our eye out for the next Women's World Cup in 4 years, and let's see what happens between now and then. All right, thanks so much for listening, and see you next time. Thank you.